Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the Run Citrix, Run Office on Citrix session. My name is John Maunder. I'm a technology solution professional at Microsoft. And I'm pleased to be joined by one of my counterparts at Citrix.
Hi John, thanks for the intro. My name's Adam Polisikowski. John didn't try my surname because everybody always gets it wrong. So I'd like to say thank you to John for inviting me over. I'm really excited to be here to talk about all the work we're doing partnering between Citrix and Microsoft.
So we wanted to do this joint session because actually this topic comes up a lot between our customers, Microsoft, and Citrix. So it's really important that we just address some of these key topics around running Office on Citrix together, and just to make sure we have that kind of coherent message going forward. So as part of the agenda today, we're going to be looking at client application specifics. So the likes of Outlook and how Outlook interacts with Exchange. So we've got some deployment scenarios that we'll run through, and also how we can look at the user experiences. Also, Skype for Business and some of the improvements we've made around virtualizing Skype for Business. And finally, OneDrive for Business, so our file sync and share application, and how we can drive an end user experience for that application as well. We do have 20 minutes, so we're going to try and cram as much information into this as possible, and hopefully you'll find some value. So we'll start off with client Outlook client modes. So really, within Outlook, we have two modes that we can switch into. The first one is online. This requires a consistent connection to Exchange, meaning that actually the network becomes a key factor in the user experience. We need to ensure that we are online all the time, and of course, our users can gain access to their email. So we've got some deployment scenarios that will run through this, but ultimately, we want to be using this when we have a fast, consistent, high bandwidth, low latency connection for Outlook. Because it's online, the data is only being executed in memory. There's no offline storage. Conversely, with the cached Exchange mode, we have an offline store. So Outlook can communicate with Exchange, take that information offline into an OST file, and also have an offline address book. Now, these situations generally we're finding where they have a native device and they need to take that content offline, or maybe they have network degradation, high latency connections as well. So it enables users to access their email whilst offline. But of course, we do have some considerations around that OST file and the OAB file when running in persistent and non-persistent environments. Adam, is that something you can speak to?
Yeah, so can I have a quick show of hands? Who uses Citrix today? Check that out, loads of hands goes up. So in a Citrix environment, we have a couple of different ways that we can deploy environments, right? We can go with, can we turn my mic up a little, please? So we can have non-persistent environments, and we can have persistent environments. In a persistent environment, a user logs on, they have a one-to-one mapping with the environment that they're logging onto, and it stores their state, right? It stores their settings, their configurations, and their data. In a non-persistent environment, the state isn't stored on the host that the user's connecting to. So when they log off, all of their data is stored in a remote profile, and that machine effectively goes back to its original state when that user logs off, okay? Now, in that world where we're looking at offline stores, the offline store is not part of the user profile. So even though we can take that profile with the user, so when they log on to their different environments, they take their configurations and settings, it won't take the offline store with it.
Great, thank you. So crucially, Outlook doesn't just stand alone. It does connect to Exchange. And we can be hosting Exchange either on-premises or in the cloud. So if we take a look at scenario one, where we have both Citrix environments running the Outlook application and our Exchange environments on-premises, typically what we see with customers is everything is housed inside of a single data center. We have high bandwidth, low latency, direct connections. And when you're virtualizing those applications out to your end users, wherever they may be, ultimately they're still coming into the environment, and that connection between the Citrix environment and the Exchange server is pretty fast, which means we can flip that into Outlook into online mode and have a good user experience. So we don't have to worry about taking an offline store. Again, typically, this is what we're seeing customers with today.
And John, when we moved to Office 365, this is where we really see this problem come in, where we have to start making these considerations. So the general rule of virtualization is applications work best when data's near them, right? Now, when we go to Office 365 and we go with hosted Exchange, I'm putting in a distance between my application and my data, right? I've now got Exchange out in the cloud and I've got Outlook installed on-prem. So I'm introducing potentially some latency. Now, in a persistent mode, we would use an offline store to deal with any intricacies that might be developed from that latency. So if my connection drops to Exchange, I've got an offline store with my cache that's gonna take that back hit for me so that the end users don't notice that there's a problem. Now, when we're in that non-persistent environment, and I can't use an offline store in the same way, we've got to start making some considerations around, well, how do I work when I've introduced some latency between my application and my data? How can I make sure that I've got the best possible link so that I can consider the choices of using online mode? Or do I use a cache mode and then we'll work out what can we do with that offline store? And there's some places we can put that offline store that we can, you know, make sure that we're still delivering great user experience.
Absolutely. We've also got some features inside of Office now with the group policy templates. So the first one that we can leverage to really alleviate this problem is fast access. So that ability for Outlook to connect online mode first for that user experience, but it'll build an OST in the background. And Outlook is intelligent enough to flip to that offline store as and when the connection increases in latency. So really giving the end user better experiences with spinning Outlook up, connecting directly to mail, and then flipping to an offline store to really insulate from those network latency connection issues. Secondly, we also have the ability to control the cache file. So we can bring the size of that cache file in Office 2016, we can bring it down to 3 days, significantly reducing the size of our OST and, of course, our storage costs and performance costs. And finally, there are some considerations around that cache file. So ultimately, we do want to ensure that we have a worthwhile connection, a consistent and fast connection, but we also need to ensure that the client is only connecting to one OST. So there are some additional considerations there when moving Exchange on-premises to Exchange Online. And really, our third scenario that we're experiencing today is moving to the cloud all up. So taking Exchange on-premises and moving that into Exchange Online, but also leveraging our investments in Azure with Citrix, and actually taking our application virtualization platform into the cloud as well. Now, if architected in the right way, we can take both of those components into the cloud within the same data center regions and potentially take everything off premises and start to experience good performance as well. So we're able to scale out, have a scalable model with a potentially very good network connection using the Microsoft backbone between Azure data centers and Exchange Online. We do, of course, recommend testing this for your own environments if you have global environments that you're looking to virtualize into. But ultimately, even though you're surfacing those applications out to your end users, they're still coming in, potentially, to the same data centers. So that's a worthwhile consideration as we move into the cloud. So some of our other options to consider here, Express Route for Office 365. Now, I have changed the guidance around Express Route for Office 365. It's important that you work with your Microsoft representatives to ensure that you get the best experience, but also that you're performing network assessments to understand why you feel you need Express Route for Office 365 specifically. And of course, if you have any external or regulatory compliance issues, that you talk with your Microsoft team to work through those as well. So we have some partner software, I believe, that can help.
We do have some partner software. We've actually got one of our attendees at the front that helped design this software. So we've got some partners that we work with. One that I'm going to call out is a company called FS Logic. And we're not going to go through exactly what those guys do. But any questions, we've got an expert at the front. But effectively what they do is they create a virtual disk of types. And that virtual disk is stored on a remote location. So as the server comes up, the user's personal virtual disk with their profile installed in that virtual disk is mounted into their virtual environment. And it will provide access to all of the things that they need, including their offline store.
And there's one other partner software that's not listed here that we've enabled in Point Healthcare, but Point Health didn't launch. What it is allows you to embed the Windows search per user basis. So typically, with the Windows search, it's on a per machine basis. So if you're in a non-persistent mode, and your user moves from machine to machine, that search attack has to be rebuilt per user. With the ThinLock software that was developed, it was developed so that search data, we actually have hooks into it, so that search data is actually embedded in that user profile with the MS logic. So as the user moves, their search data goes with them, so that cache does not have to be rebuilt. And then when new data comes into their offline cache, and the search, so now the user search is tied to the machine, is actually tied to the user.
Okay. So we have some additional solutions that we can provide there. And for those of you who didn't hear, we've got an additional partner software that we can leverage there. So well worth the conversation. Thank you. So of course, Adam, Outlook Exchange isn't the only consideration, right? We've also got the Skype for Business application set.
Yeah, and just so you know, everything that we've been talking about so far, we've got a great white paper that's available. You can go to citrix and microsoft.com, and you can download the white paper that talks you through everything that we're talking about today. So another consideration is Skype for Business. So one of the challenges that we have to consider when we go to Skype for Business in a virtual environment is I'm going to have users connecting from their virtual, from their local hosts with their cameras, with their microphones, and that's all going to get patched through to their virtual environments. So if we think of the scenario that John and I find ourselves in while we're here in Atlanta, John and I are both based in the UK. Our virtual environment is in a UK data center. If I want to place a call to John using Skype, both of our traffic, our real-time audio and video, is now going to hairpin back through our London data center, and it's going to potentially introduce some latency. Now, Citrix technology, our protocol HDX, is awesome at already delivering a great user experience, even with that amount of latency, but that means that our servers are going to have to take the load, and that's going to impact scalability. It's going to impact the number of users that we can host on a server if we don't introduce some technology to help with that scenario. So here's a kind of diagram that walks through that challenge. So I've got user A, that's me, and I'm connecting to my virtual environment from my host. And I've got John, user two. And really, we just want our real-time audio, our voice and video communication to go point to point. But in a virtual environment, what happens is all of the traffic comes back across the virtual channels. My voice, my video, my instant messages, my call management and establishment settings all come over the virtual channels. So we're currently about 200 milliseconds away from London. So there's two of us, round trip time, it's about 400 milliseconds of additional latency that we're introducing when we virtualize Skype. So what we announced in January was we've co-developed some software. Citrix and Microsoft co-developed this, and we announced it at our Citrix partner conference in January, and it's called the Skype for Business Optimization Pack. Using that technology, we install a small agent on the host client. That agent is part of Citrix Receiver. It's already embedded into the Receiver client. Then we use the virtual channels for call management, call establishment, for instant messaging. But real-time media is sent point to point. So we get a dial tone experience. So when we're both in Atlanta and I call John, my voice, as whiny as it might sound, will go direct to John without having to traverse that 400 milliseconds of latency. That supported both Skype on-premise and Skype online.
Okay, so our final application that we're going to be looking at is OneDrive for Business. So our file sync and share application and service that allows you to gain access to your files on anywhere, any device. So there are some key considerations around virtualizing OneDrive for Business. First of all, our supportability statements from Microsoft around running the OneDrive for Business synchronization client in a virtual environment. So today, that's not something that is supported. We're going to be looking at the experience side of things. So we do have an option there, but of course, that will be an unsupported option. One of the other considerations is the offline synchronization. So we need to look at storage costs and the performance of that storage if we're going to synchronize that content down. Very similar to the Exchange with the offline store, the OST file. Same problem there. We're actually bringing that content down. We need to put that content somewhere to then make it accessible. So storage space and storage performance is certainly a consideration there. And of course, there is technically the ability to synchronize that content to a network file share. But again, we come into rough ground when we're talking about supportability statements.
So again, John, just to put that at a really high level, the problem we're facing here is that non-persistent environment. I, as a user, log on. Every log on, I'm logging onto a fresh environment. If I've got 2 gig in my sync folder, that's 2 gig that's coming down to my virtual environment every single time I log on. Well, if I've got 20, 30 users all logging onto that same environment because we're using a shared non-persistent environment, that's 2 gig per user. And we're not talking about provisioning technologies today, but there was a lot of Citrix hands that went up. If we're using provisioning technologies, which means actually we're running a lot of our, you know, everything's, a lot of stuff is running from memory instead of from disk, that's 2 gig that's dropping down per user into memory. It's going to really impact user performance.
So some of the user experience options that we've got, OneDrive for Business, sync client inside of that virtualized environment. And again, rough ground in terms of supportability. But if I'm an end user and I've got OneDrive for Business sync client on my desktop, and then I know that actually, if I right-click on that system tray, I can get a web browser fired up and signed in really, really quickly. It's not the greatest user experience, but actually that transition into a virtualized environment to spin up the web browser version of OneDrive and start accessing your files, it's an option. And that's what we're here today to talk about. It is an option that you may wish to consider moving forward with OneDrive for Business. But actually, we've got better options. Some of these better options, of course, involve Citrix solutions.
And John, we've got something that actually works very similar to the OneDrive for Business client, but we use ShareFile. So again, anybody use ShareFile? Some hands went up, not quite as many as we had as Citrix customers. So ShareFile, again, I'm not going to go through everything that ShareFile does because it's quite a large tool that does a lot of things, but ShareFile will aggregate all of your different content repositories. So we can take your network drives and your OneDrive for Business and your ShareFile content, and we can present it within one client. So users just have one application that they go to get to all of their repositories. One of the deployment options we have with ShareFile is something called the ShareFile Desktop App. That desktop app runs within the sys tray. When a user clicks on that sys tray, they will see all of their different content repositories that are available to them, including OneDrive for Business. But to be clear, this is an online mode only. So you have to have connectivity to the internet for this to work.
So from an end user experience, we're talking about opening up the web browser. Adam, is there any additional things that we can do to drive user experience in terms of the browser?
Well, I think if we get the user to the browser, they get a full functioning client, right, John? So everything that they can do with OneDrive, they can do via the browser. So it's a great option that we quite, you know, it's one of our preferences, right? If we can change user behavior and get them to use the browser to access their content, it enables more features for them. So using Citrix Zen App or Zen Desktop, we can present Internet Explorer out as a browser, and we can set that browser to have a hard link that will take the user straight to their OneDrive for Business portal. We can use single sign-on, so they don't have to sign in again, and we get a layer of security on top, and then they can use that publish link to access all of that data.
Okay, so these are very web browser-based solutions that we're talking about right now. But actually, from an end user perspective, again, if I'm looking for a document, actually, most of the cases, if I'm going for a PowerPoint content, if I'm going for a Word content, I'm actually going straight into the application. And with connected services and Office 365 Pro Plus and Office 2016, we're able to surface those connected services like OneDrive for Business, SharePoint team sites, in context of the application that I'm using. So I know that I'm going to PowerPoint, I'm going to open PowerPoint, I'm going to find my content through those connected services. There's no need to synchronize that content offline. There's no need to take that into my potentially non-persistent session and do anything with it, because I can gain access to that content, it's going to download it, and I have the full rich client application. One of the additional benefits is your ability to sign on to Office 365. It knows who you are, it knows the devices that you're working with, and it's going to surface the content that's most recently used in our most recently used list. So actually leveraging the latest Office client bits, we're able to get a really good user experience when we're virtualizing Office, but actually getting to the OneDrive for Business and SharePoint content via the application itself. But if they've got something installed natively on their desktop, such as the OneDrive for Business sync client, is there anything we can do with Citrix?
Yeah, so John, it's probably worth us giving a little bit of background at this point, actually. So John and I first met in the UK about 18 months ago when we was jointly put in front of a customer to deal with this challenge, right? And you know, I'm one of our Microsoft specialists at Citrix, and the first question that I always get asked is, how do we make OneDrive work in a Citrix environment? And for weeks, I banged my head against the wall trying to work out the best way to make this work because we had this sync issue within non-persistent environments. And then when John and I sat down and we were talking to that customer in the UK, we actually got to the point where we said, actually, I think we're trying to fix a problem that doesn't necessarily exist. For a lot of customers, or for a lot of users, the user experience of workflow that they go through is the one that John's just talked you through. They go file, they open, and then they open, you know, they'll find their document, and then they'll open it within that application. Now, they can use one of the connected services that John's just talked about, but within a Citrix virtual environment, we can also enable local drive access. So if you've got the OneDrive for Business client installed on the physical host that you're connecting to, which a lot of people do have, that's a typical user scenario, where you can browse to your local disk, to your C drive, and you can access your local OneDrive for Business sync folder. So you can access documents that you've already got stored directly on your C drive. And you don't have to go through the application to do that. You could use Windows Explorer on your local host, find a document, and open it and use a file type association which would patch it through to your virtual environment and open it into your virtual application, which is a typical workflow that most people are doing today anyway.
You're talking about the client access.
Correct. Yeah, so if you've got a physical laptop with OneDrive installed, so you've got your data synced to the physical laptop that's in front of you, you can access the content on that physical laptop and pass that into your virtual environment.
What about a thin client?
Thin client, we would look at one of the other options. We wouldn't recommend the local drive access in that thin client. But again, this scenario here is what we would recommend in a thin client world.
So just to summarize, Outlook client modes is a consideration when we're looking at where Exchange lives, whether it's on-premises or in the cloud. Network performance and latency is a big consideration. There are options within Outlook to configure cache modes, fast access, and we have some options around moving to the cloud. Scope for Business, the new HDX technology with real-time optimization. And finally, OneDrive for Business, taking into consideration the user experience and the user workflows. So that's all the content we have today. Please stop by the Office 365 Pro Plus booth. We have some fantastic giveaways for Surface Pros and Bose headsets, and you can come and talk to one of the specialists around virtualizing Office on Citrix. We've got some additional sessions. Adam and I are running another breakout today at 3:15. We're going to be talking about Citrix infrastructure and how we can virtualize Office inside of virtual desktops and virtual applications. So come and see us again in the breakout. And we have some additional resources around Fast Track that you can also visit, and our tech community on Microsoft.com. It'd be great to hear your feedback on the session, and Adam and I are going to be around to take questions afterwards. So thank you for coming along today.
Thank you.